DJ, drop a beat.
Not another podcast.
Not another podcast. Not another podcast.
Not another podcast.
What the hell is wrong with you people?
Those people are the freaks, man.
Right.
Oh my God, who the hell cares?
James.
I am sick and tired of everyone telling me I'm confused.
Big Jim.
I told you. What did I tell you? Didn't I tell you? Because I told you.
Samantha.
I am going to have regular sex with you whether you like it or not.
Not another podcast.
I think that's about the grossest thing I've seen all morning.
That's like a deleted scene from Basket Case.
It really is.
Remember that part where that thing that was so...
He's eating
that
placenta.
No, if it was a little darker, it'd be placenta. That's like a bad skin graft for like a burn victim. This one didn't take, so we're going to cover it in marinara sauce and give it to Bryce.
Oh, yeah.
He's going to chow down on it. Well, welcome to Not Another Podcast. I am James.
I am Bryce.
And I am Big James. There's two different sizes of James.
And he's a lot happier today because he got whiskey.
It's true. Well, I got shame whiskey. It's a double-edged sword. It's yay, there's whiskey, but with great inebriation comes great
shaming.
Irresponsibility.
Do you want to enlighten the audience as to the rules of the whiskey that you were told?
You don't talk about whiskey.
Yeah, first rule of Whiskey Club is you don't talk about Whiskey Club.
It's a good thing we're not in Whiskey Club.
Second rule of Whiskey Club is you don't bring a flat pizza sandwich to the podcast.
It's really hard to eat.
Dude, he's like fully, it's like looking worse and worse.
This looks nothing like the commercials led me to believe.
He's going to choke. We're making him laugh so hard.
So what kind of toppings do you want? Like, can I have some Chef Boyardee?
It looked like he grabbed a menstruating vagina and just started chowing down.
That is extra, the menstruating vagina.
The menstruating?
Yeah, they got to go in the back to get them.
It's worth every penny, apparently.
But yeah, so I was giving James a ration of shit because, you know, he cherry-picked a pro. He got some high-powered talent.
And then after I got Bryce, I went after Jim.
Well, there's, you know, filling up a seat. That's kind of a job, yeah. I clearly lack in the sandwich-eating capacity, so... Got my hands out of shape. It's so sad.
Yep.
It's good for soup now. That's pretty much all there is.
Skin graft burrito.
But they did acquire a bottle of my favorite bottom shelf whiskey. It is.
It literally was on the bottom shelf.
Very bottom shelf, yeah.
I looked for it at the liquor store the other day, and the one by my house doesn't have it.
The only way you can find it is if you've got like a
shifty back alley.
You have to look under the bottom shelf.
Oh, so the shelf lifts up.
Yeah,
okay. Yeah,
the storage. Okay.
Keep it next to the fortified wine and the cleaning agents. So
yeah, yeah.
But yeah, it's McCormick's whiskey, which is tops out about 825 a fifth. Which I mean, if this were 1825, that'd be top shelf whiskey. You know,
but because there was only one shelf back then,
we're gonna put it wherever the hell we damn well please. So
there was less whiskey and more burning piss water back in the Old West too. So.
I think they used that for cleaning up blood stains too,
or pizza stains, or pizza sandwich stains, as the case may be.
See, I don't spill food everywhere, so
that sandwich ain't done yet, dude. It looks like
that's why I eat it over what I'm eating.
It
off
looks
of.
Like blood on the asphalt. That movie you'd watch and behind.
Well, the
wheel.
Paper has turned into a maxi pad.
It was already like
one of those ones that you get from the Dollar Tree or like from school. If like you're running low and you're just gonna like grab like
no,
little...
from like a theater bathroom.
What theaters are you going to?
The Oregon Theater.
Yes, I'll have one for Lilo and Stitch. And do you know if the tampon machine has been reloaded in the bathroom? I got a sandwich I'm eating later. I want to make sure everything stays.
I got to make sure I'm covered. Everything's covered.
But I keep deflecting the shame. Shame should stay where it was designed to be.
On this show.
I was presented with a bottle by your lovely wife, Bree, who had a look in her eye that I've never actually seen before.
Oh, I've seen it many times.
Well, clearly. I was one of her favorites once.
Once.
But she presented me with the bottle. I am permitted two free shots of whiskey per show. The bottle doesn't leave the building, which is, I'm totally fine with that. Because, I mean, you're not a whiskey
no,
guy.
No, no.
And Bree's more of a glue huffer. So, if anything else. Or
glue and wine.
Some, it's puts wine in a bag. Merlot.
Merlot and crazy glue. That was a good month.
That's true. And then, so any shot there afterwards, it's a buck each, which isn't actually bad. I'm going to need to hit an ATM now before, because they don't liquor stores don't open until 11 a.m.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
that's why you
well, and the beauty is by the time you finish that, you've probably paid for two more bottles.
Easily, yeah.
Yeah.
So look, the where I discovered this was at the bar that I work at on Saturdays, and they charge, I think, like $3.50 a shot.
Oh, so now, you're getting a deal by working on this show.
Without doubt, yeah. But their shot glasses are considerably...
That's your employee discount.
Yeah, exactly. Well, when you
were buy, you still a guest, it would have been charged like $5 a shot.
Well, you know, that's coming out of my 401k, too, so I'm not getting any retirement money.
We would have charged you $3 to just look at the bottle.
Okay, 3, 2, 1, and there you go. You're the fiver.
$10 to sniff.
I want you to just rub it on my chest here.
But, that's 50.
Yeah, so they charge about $3.50 a shot, but it's...
You get a decent-sized shot for that amount. And I you would go in there, and I could give me a shot of well whiskey, because I'm a classy, deadbeat dad. I mean, that's what, you know, give me the cheapest booze you have. In the largest glass possible.
Yeah, but you were doing that before you became a deadbeat dad.
True. Yeah,
back when you were just a deadbeat.
Yeah, then I became drunk dad, and then like the two kind of like met.
The merged.
Yeah. The christening. But I realized...
You molted.
If I buy three shots at that other place, I've already more than paid for...
A whole bottle.
Their next, yeah, their next fifth. And they get like a good, I'd say, 10 to 12 shots per bottle. So that's... So in the neighborhood, about four
plus
bottles
per... Plus they probably
get
it at a little bit of a discount. Like a wholesaler.
I'm going to quit that fucking job today. Kiss my ass.
Well, just remember, the more podcasts you do, you get two free shots each episode.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean you can demand we do extra episodes.
I was
going
to say, he's going to want to do more episodes now.
What are you guys doing this morning?
That's why he's been here early.
I know it's 3 in the morning, but...
Well, that's the other thing we need to take issue, because Bryce is taking a little bit of umbrage with your work ethic since you've been on the show as a full cast member. This is 2 weeks now. Two weeks
in a row.
That you've been here early.
Yeah. Or, yeah, early.
I don't think you're Jim. I think you're an alien. Your name's probably Zablir.
Zablir?
Zablir to Falcon, they are aware. Activate the cooler, and I will make my way to the capsule with the bottle in hand.
Sorry, the one thing that they'll take from our planet is our booze.
We sent you there to find rock gut whiskey. For God's sakes, man.
What have you found, Zablir?
38 years, and still nothing has been sent back. Well, bro, you know, I've learned to love these weird, creepy meat sacks, you know, and they're delicious yet problematic pizza sandwiches. They don't make sense to my kind, but I'm from a different solar system. From a
different time. We did miss one thing. I'm sorry, I skipped over one thing that happened to Jim after he got his whiskey. My wife kind of put the period on the whole thing.
Yeah, she
you should get some of that.
$3.5 million.
Some of the most expensive alcohol.
Ew, it's tequila. Ew, gross. No, ew. No.
What? You invented tequila.
My urine invented tequila.
Your ancestor, Fingerless Joe.
Yes. Well, jeez. Well, he's more of a creepy uncle.
How about some $2 million champagne?
See, you know, and a lot of times, though, with champagne...
See, here's the thing, though. Jim gets top-shelf whiskey from me all the time. Like, really
good.
But
it's not good enough, because it's
well, apparently
good.
Not, because
it's
he...
too good.
When?
When
is the next time that I'm going to get some stuff? I mean, I feel a little insulted that
the
I don't
last
have at least
time,
a calendar update that I can go to.
I don't even have a calendar update. The last time Jim got booze from me, he got 4 bottles of top shelf, locally made gin.
Yeah, there was a gin. There was, I think, 2 different types of rum, a bottle of whiskey. And
also a contact for possible comedy shows. Because one of the distilleries has open mic comedy.
Mm-hmm.
And I, of course...
Nothing.
...pushed your name out there because I think you're endlessly hilarious.
Yeah.
And the guy said, have him call me. And did you call?
Yeah.
That, ladies and gentlemen, is the sound of what? I forgot.
Are you kidding me? Oh, I mean, yes.
He
like
probably
three
drank
times.
The number.
The card worked well as a coaster. It was very absorbent. There's no rings on my coffee table. But
Fantastic.
I do still have the card. I don't think I've gotten around to calling him yet. You know, you don't want to just seem desperate. You want to seem like you got shit to do, bro.
Speaking of comedy, you were at Helium last night.
No, I'll be at Helium tomorrow night.
Oh, tomorrow night. Okay. Yeah. So by the time you folks hear this, he will have already killed it at Helium.
So any time travelers that are fans of the show...
If you happen to have a TARDIS...
Yeah, if you want to bump back in time to Wednesday night around 8 p.m., just let me know. Drop me a line in Future Facebook, and I will be able Future Book, yeah.
Sunday afternoon, I'm going to drop him a line and ask for tickets for Wednesday show.
Hey, bro.
Any tickets for last Wednesday?
Now, is this stand-up, or is it... Because I thought it was, like, storytelling.
It is. It's storytelling, which is it's a type of stand-up comedy, you know? So it's basically going to be... It's what they refer to as long-form, which is, you know, just do a bunch of short jokes that are all over the place. You do, like, kind of one continuous storyline.
Like storytelling.
Yeah.
Basically.
And so the comedy club Helium, because Don had been there for so long and you know, had become such a staple there, decided they were going to give him a showcase that he can book every month. So,
oh, how cool.
He took pity.
Jim hasn't been getting a lot of work lately.
He needs to get out of the house.
Please, God.
He's showing up early.
I remember when my kid was 2 months old and the shit that just came out of that kid. Sure, Jim, come on down.
Yeah, buddy, that's fine. Just find a shady spot and just sit there. We'll send over a medic.
Sit there and shake.
St. Bernard with one of those little things of brandy under his neck.
You'll find Jim in the corner rocking to himself and repeating weird stuff.
Calm Blue Ocean. Calm Blue Ocean.
Calm Blue Ocean.
But, yeah, so... He's booked it. This is the second one that he's doing, and there's a theme for each storytelling one. The first one he did was called Scar Tissue, so it was all about things that were, you know, either emotionally or physically scarring to you, which is a great thing for comedy. Like, yeah, let's talk about like some physical deformities, some emotional pain, some things that change you forever. But this week's or this month's I should say theme is going to be called Can't Believe It Happened to Me. So since this is obviously going to take place, this is going to be uploaded in the future, I can go ahead and spoil what the theme is, or what my particular version of I Can't Believe It Happened to Me. It's going to be all about how I got on to the radio and, you know, all the things that I kind of got to do therein, from like Joe Schmo chasing shoplifters for Tower Records all the way through getting handed my headcount reduction, and now I'm got my shitty day job back working at a fucking storage facility. And
I would actually really like to hear that full story, because I've heard snippets of you telling me the stories. And for anyone who doesn't know or has missed Jim on our many, many episodes, he's actually pretty funny.
Yeah. Well,
sometimes.
It's kind of like a...
But your story of being fired from the radio is one of my favorites.
The headcount reduction, which to me just sounds like a corporate game of duck, duck, goose. Like, job, job, job,
no
homeless.
Job, catch me!
And if you catch your manager before he gets back to your seat, then you get a promotion.
You get his job.
You get his job, but you have to beat him in like Mortal Kombat and take his head with it as power.
But when it happened,
get over here.
You would, and I know this because I witnessed it. Now, I was fired.
The tears and the
shame. I was fired before you. I was actually gone just a couple weeks ahead of you.
Is that true?
Yeah.
I don't think it was.
No?
No, you were still there because you were one of the few people, because Dennis got cut first, then me. You were the only reason, because Dennis was still buying time on the station. You were one that was still drawing a check, if memory serves.
Oh, then I must have got let go like right after you, because it was not very long.
They weren't sucking you dry for every last ounce of, you know, usefulness.
No, actually, here's the funny story. I actually got fired a month before I got fired. They sat me down, and by they I mean Weasel Man, sat me down and told
me Marvel
at the on the first I would be let go, and it was the first of the month prior. So I knew 30 days ahead of time I was going to be let go.
I'd be like, okay, so you just want me to do the shittiest job for the next month?
That's the dumbest planning ever.
I was standing there like, what?
Well, gee, Doc, let me go ahead and dig this grave real nice, and shear up all the edges, and I'll go ahead and build that pie box for you, too sweet, and I'll lay it out all good, and put some food out for the reception after my death.
the best part was he as soon as I was gone, he had a month to build up the story. He started telling everyone that he fired me because I was like playing video games and doing all this stuff when I was supposed to be working.
I mean, you were, but you were getting shit done more so than he ever.
I played video games after my work was done. And the fact that I was waiting on him to finish my work?
Not just so much that you were waiting on him, but also how many times did he come running to you with a fucking with a fuck up of his own creation?
Oh, yeah.
And you were once again required to pull his collective weasel bacon out of the fire and make a miracle happen out of the pull it out of your ass. And like very and never once getting the accolades that should have gone to you. And if they were, they were so left-handed, it was fucking, why even bother wasting my time in the first fucking place?
So, but yours was so
but
much
we're not
fun.
Bitter. We're not
no,
bitter.
No. We've moved on.
Yeah.
But for you, right before you got fired, you were at probably your lowest point as far as your radio career was. I mean, you had gone through some shit.
No, without
and,
doubt.
And you were given an opportunity because you worked with another guy who I won't mention. That guy got let go, but they kept you.
Yeah.
And they said, you know what, we're going to give you this time slot.
Yeah. I was the show that I was doing prior was from, I think, 2 to 7.
Mm-hmm.
And once they cut loose the host of the show, they gave that to Court and Fatboy. So they took over the afternoon drive time slot, and they were doing 7 to midnight, and so they gave that slot to me.
Mm-hmm.
And the way it was made, they made it sound was that here's your time to shine, you know, go do it whatever which you will. By the way, we're going to need you to play 13 to 15 songs an hour, the majority of which will be the 8-9 minute long new Metallica songs that just came out from Death Magnetic. And some old Tool songs and like some
Guns N' Roses and AC/DC.
Yeah, just that the longest shit, just fucking the Inagata De Vita with like the 30 minute drum solo. Throw that one in there too. Songs I never even heard of, like Gregorian chants and shit.
Radio.
I didn't even have enough time to do like step downs for like, you know, like songs and everything else. I just had to just keep cranking shit through. And on the few occasions where I did try to actually put some content into the show every single time, I was browbeaten and told, just play the fucking songs, monkey. And I'm just like, I thought, you know, this was supposed to be, can I get some help? Can I get some assistance? No. I'm like, interns are free. I mean, they get college fuck credit for coming here and helping out. And they're like, no, we can't afford that. Like, afford free? I will give
Free's
you free to give to them. I will devote personal free to you. I will free sublet you some of my free.
Look, I've got free just coming out of my pockets here. Yeah. Take some.
But, yeah, and it just couldn't get any kind of... And I was just like, all right, fuck it then. I mean, if that's all they want is a board op, that's basically what they're going to get. And so I just basically board opted for... They cut loose the host in December, and like my show went until, I think, March of that next year.
Yeah.
So it was not like a, you know, ups and downs and crazy insights and everything else. No, it was a very brief blip in the pan.
And then you hit like this turning point. You're like, okay, I have this opportunity that a lot of people don't get. Yes, I'm basically board hopping, but I'm also a host.
Yeah.
And I may only have 3 minutes an hour to talk, but damn it, they're going to be the best 3 minutes.
Pretty much, yeah. I was in charge of doing that, and then also like from midnight to one, there was like a total request left, but it was like, you get to be the program director for an hour.
Yeah.
And I had to do voice tracks for that. And so that was like the one thing that I enjoyed doing, even though all I was doing was basically recording these, like, you know, pretty little bits that we'd load into the player. And that was the one thing that I had where I could actually still be creative in some capacity. And it was doing one of those where I realized, like, yeah, like you just said, like, I don't have the opportunity like I once did. But I'm still doing, I'm not, you know, working like fast food anymore. I'm not mm-hmm. working any of the other crap jobs I've had in the past. You know, and I did get, every time they had a chance to interview a comedian, they threw that interview to me. So mm-hmm. I got to interview Lisa Lampanelli and Aisha Tyler and Chris Titus and Bert Kreischer and Doug Benson, you know, and some really incredible comedians all the way around. And most of those interviews I still have. But just finding time to, like, I had to pare it down to like a minute and a half to 2 minutes at the most. There's so much good shit there that I couldn't just, you know, do what I used to do. But I'm like, you know what, fuck it. If if this is the opportunity, this is as small as the island of opportunity has gotten,
yep.
then I'm going to do my best to polish it up and shine it up and make it look all nice, nice, and pretty, pretty. You know.
And I was the same way. Like I knew the axe was coming, but I was like, you know what? I'm not going out that
no,
way.
It was coming.
I'm not
going. They gave you money and sent you to the axe store.
Pick out an axe.
And bring it back, and then they gave you an axe sharpener.
Pick your own pick your own executioner.
But yeah. I was like, you know what? This is. I'm not being fired because of what I do yeah. or anything. I'm being fired for extenuous reasons. I'm not going to be one of those guys that just you know fuck it. Because
yeah.
this is my career. I don't want to burn any bridges. I might work
with...
I want to burn some
bitches. I want to burn a lot of bitches. I got a big bitch.
But I was like, I might work with some of these people again. And I want... When I leave, I want them to think, you know, he was a really good worker. And if they're ever in a position to hire or even suggest, they might think of me.
Yeah,
you know?
And it's interesting, you know, like, because that's the fucked up way that radio kind of works is... obviously, I came in at the very tail end of not just KUFO as a station, but kind of terrestrial radio as a medium.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, go back 10, 15 years, getting fired from one station wasn't a big deal. Like, you get snatched up again in a heartbeat. Maybe it might not be in the same city or same state, but, you know, as soon as that non-compete was up, or if it was outside of that, you could be working, like, tomorrow.
Yeah.
You know, in a totally different market, totally different audience. You can just reinvent yourself any number of times. You know, and it's interesting because, like you said, like if you leave a good taste in people's mouths more often than not, they'd be like, you know, we used to have a guy that worked here a while ago. He was really fucking hardworking. He was really great. Let's bring him back because we know what we can get from this guy as opposed to just rolling the dice with somebody else.
Yeah, exactly.
But then it kind of morphed into, you know, I'm going to wipe a big turd on this person and just not really give much care to, like, you know, how that affects them.
Once companies started buying up radio stations and making, you know, clusters, that whole world where you could, you know, you get fired at one station on Tuesday and you start up at another station on Wednesday,
yeah.
gone. Just totally gone. Because now you know, you can't work for... Because, you know, one company owns six stations. And you're like, well... I'm out of this market, basically.
Yeah.
You know? So, I mean... radio. It's
Hey, you want some whiskey to drown their tears? $2 each.
Yeah, it's an amazing job, but it's one of the hardest jobs because...
Absolutely.
More so than anything else, you have to play the political game.
Mm-hmm.
You have to suck up to the right people... And work your ass off. But you also have to keep your ear to the ground, listen to all the gossip, pay attention to what's going on around you. Instead of just focusing on you.
And the product that you're putting out.
Yeah. You have to pay attention to so much other stuff going on. There isn't a lot of that where I work currently, which, thank God, I love working where I work now.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone seems to be, you know, motivated to put out good product.
Yeah.
You know, and you can really see that in the people that I work with, at least,
yeah.
Daily. You know, they're very committed to not only their show, but the reputation of their show.
There are few pockets left in radio where there are, you know, you get rewarded for your hard work. You mm-hmm. get accolades that aren't left-handed. You get, you know... you know, you may not be getting paid as what, you know, what, for what all the work that you're doing, but you know that when someone says thank you, they legitimately mean it, and they'll do their best not to kind of, like, you know, basically drop an emergency in your lap and make it, all of a sudden, if you don't make it happen, suddenly, somehow, it's your fault that that took place.
Well, I've taken the same work ethic that I had, you know, starting in radio, and I have it here,
mm-hmm.
and I think I've always had it in radio, you know, because I love it so much. But at my current place, I do get it. It does get noticed,
yeah.
And I've been told on multiple occasions, you know, we're not in a position that we can reward you the way we would like to, but we want you to know how much we do appreciate your work,
okay.
And the fact that you step up and do things. I did a 24-hour shift because someone didn't show up.
Jesus.
And my boss took me aside and just, you know, was like, if that ever happens again, don't do it, but thank you so much for doing it,
yeah.
You know.
This is the Vince McMahon-Mick Foley Hell in a Cell speech. That was incredible, never do that again.
Never again, yeah. So
Were you just board hopping, or were you like talking?
It was just a board op shift. It was okay. Just, you know, I had my shift. I had to be back early the next morning, and someone was covering, you know, the shift between.
The other half of the Jerry Lewis
but they telephone. Didn't show up.
Yeah.
And apparently what happened was that person had informed the boss that they couldn't work on certain days, but the schedule had been up like a month.
Yeah.
So they should have looked at the schedule and said, hey, I told you before I can't work that.
Yeah.
So, you know, something needs to change. But I called the person a bunch of times saying, hey, you know, where are you? You're supposed to be here. No answer. None.
Well, that's
and then my boss was out of town, so her cell wasn't working. So it was like,
Jesus.
So it was like, well, I don't have a choice.
Mm-hmm.
And the only other thing I could have done was go through the other board ops and go see whose hours were where and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's too much work. And what if, you know, no one answered? I'll just take care of it.
Yeah. Or worse yet, like, you just had to make a command decision like that because what other choice do you have?
And it's wrong.
Yeah, and they gave you shit because, well, that's not your responsibility.
Exactly.
And you're just like, I solved the problem. No one got overtime. I didn't have to sit in here for a full day. I mean, again, that's kind of like the catch-22 that a lot of times you get caught up
yep.
in. But, you know, when you make those decisions, when you make those sacrifices, you know, when you find a venue that will reward that and appreciate that, you know, and look to make sure that that doesn't sort of happen again in the future. But like you said, they're very thankful for you doing that. You know, that's worth more. I'd rather make a livable wage and be treated that way than get paid more and get just basically
crapped
treated
on.
Like an indentured servant. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know.
But, I mean, these are the sacrifices any good employee will make at a job that they like.
I saw an article online about how basically it's people talk about how, like, you know, people are lazy. They just don't want to work anymore. Mm-hmm. And the truth isn't that we don't want to work. It's the fact that management and supervisors, people basically that are in authority or power, come in and they do such a shit job of, you know, just poor management of people. If you're pulling your weight, then instead of being rewarded or, you know, pushed up the ladder, you're basically given all the shortfall that everybody else is kind of leaving
yep.
around. And it becomes, like, if you do it once or twice, it then becomes expected. So that's now your new level of you have to perform to this level because you're doing now the work of three people and the other two people can just sort of slack the fuck off. You know, and it's the greasy wheels that always get squeaked, the ones that want to raise hell and make the manager's job that much more a living hell, which even demoralizes you even more because when you're working your ass off because you want to do a good job, because you want to get rewarded and move up the thing, you know, you get ignored. Because, well, he's not saying anything. He must be happy with doing, like, 60-hour
yep.
work weeks. But we'll cut him loose at 38 and a half so we don't have to pay him overtime or, you know, benefits and shit. That's truly what I feel is kind of eroding the work ethic of the American people.
So well, yeah, and you're squeaking by for, you know, money, you know, just a small amount of money that you can't make a living on.
Yeah.
You know? I've had discussions about this. The cost of living index, which the government uses to determine like what minimum wage is, does not include food,
gas,
luxuries like food,
electricity. It basically covers like what it costs to rent an apartment. And by the way, the rent for the apartment is really low.
Yeah.
So
it
does not accurately reflect how much it costs to live.
Yeah.
Even like at the poverty level.
Yeah, the average cost of rent here in Portland, well, technically we're in Milwaukee right now, but in and around the Portland area is on a steady march up, and the nicer the neighborhood you're living in, the worse it's getting. Over, I think it's in the Hollywood area, people are just like, yeah, we're having to move. We never missed a rent payment. We've
yep.
never done anything wrong. We've taken good care of the house that we're living in. But because these other people are coming in and they're going to either bulldoze it or they're going to turn it into lofts and charge like five times what it's worth.
Yep.
Because Portland is turning into this fucking boom. Did they find gold or fucking oil in the hills or some shit?
You know what it is? I'll tell you exactly what it is. It's a show called Portlandia.
Oh.
That show, which does not accurately represent life in Portland,
what?
Has made this town into
How
like
dare you.
A carnival. And people are coming in because they think, and this has been mentioned on...
I don't know what lesbian bookstores you're going into, sir, but that is spot the fuck
all of them.
Yeah.
People just think if I stand on a corner, something wacky is going to happen. And they're getting disappointed. However, I will say that the other reason is the... it's right there. Right there. There you go.
Pretty not smart.
The weather in the Northwest is so nice. Even, you know, it rains 9 months out of the year, but most of the people coming here are going, I don't have to shovel snow.
Yeah, you don't have, no, you yeah. You don't have to shovel rain, too. Yeah, we don't have tornadoes that knock our fucking houses down.
There's
we
no drought.
Hurricanes.
Yeah, well...
We technically are in a drought right now.
Yeah.
Well, compared to California, yeah. Not even close.
In the words of Meatloaf, two out of three ain't bad. You know, yeah, exactly. You know, even though there's talk that Nisley might come up here and start fucking trying to bogart our water as well, those fuck faces.
Well, some people that I work with have a great idea. We could become like the Arab Emirates of the Pacific Northwest if we start selling water to California. And the source they want to use is the Willamette. Hey, they'll pay out the nose for it because it's water.
Well, by its basic definition, I mean, yes, there's oxygen and hydrogen in there.
Oh, no, I agree. But, you know, if it means money coming into our state that we can use for education, road repair.
Please. Yeah, no.
Instead of coming out of our tax dollars.
Which we pay very little in taxes, which I'm very thankful for, but also see. Like when I grew up, when I lived in Pennsylvania, fucking everything was taxed. Every fucking thing. Fast food, gasoline, everything you can mm-hmm. imagine had a tax on it. So I got so pissed off going to the store and being like, okay, I've got $5 in my pocket. Okay, this thing is $4.99. Sweet. Here you go. It'll be $5.36. I'm just like, oh, what the fucking goddamn
yeah,
tax?
Yeah, I hate tax.
Yeah,
sales tax is stupid.
And you feel like a moron when you're just like, all right, how much does this thing
I know.
Cost when it's got a little number on it? I don't know. That's not good. Or why the fuck don't they just put the number with the tax on the thing that I'm going to buy?
Because yeah. It's the overall tax. No. They tax the total amount.
I am overallly less enthralled by that fucking plan of action. It's just,
I agree.
So when I moved out to Portland... The first time I went to like a plant pantry or 7-Eleven or whatever, I think I grabbed like a sandwich or a piece of fruit. Just go with me on this one, all right, guys? But I walk up there and it's you know, 98 cents. I'm just like, how much is this? And they looked at me like, you know, oh,
like you're crazy.
There's a white van with a bunch of other people just like you. They're looking for you right now, aren't they? Let's go find those people.
Is your name in your jacket?
Are you?
Do you know where you live?
Do you know guys with little butterfly nets that are looking for you? Because they're gonna come in here. But they're like, it's 98 cents. Like, no, I know that's what it says, but how much does it cost? And they're like, are you from another time continuum? Like, what do you mean?
You do you know? Not understand the basic concept of math?
Yeah.
98 cents.
98, okay. Not 99, not 97, somewhere in the middle. You figure it out. But yeah, it was like, I the person thought I was fucking crazy because when I realized it, oh my God, they don't have tax here, I got so excited. I was buying like a fucking, let's be honest, I was buying a candy bar. Let's cut the crap here. I know I put up a good facade. But I was just like, I was so excited to buy a candy bar at base fucking face cost. I didn't have to do math anymore. So, yeah, that's one of the things. That, oh, and pumping your own gas. The first time I actually was driving a car and I pulled up to a gas station and I get out and everyone's just like, you know, I reach for the nozzle and they're running at me like I got a gun in front of the president.
Don't you dare!
Yeah. Got a nozzle! I get tackled by three guys in fluorescent green vests. I'm like, just trying to fill my car, bros. You don't do that. We do that. I'm like, okay. And there's only two states that does that. Oregon and what's the other one?
New Jersey.
Good call. All right. You get a cookie.
Honey, I get a cookie!
No, you don't. Shot.
I'll take the cookie. The cookie's free. I'm not helping you with your whiskey.
It's a whiskey tax. But, you know, honestly, if I could have my druthers, I would, like, really enjoy being back in Reading. Because that's, like, towards the end of my whole thing I'm going to be doing tomorrow night at Helium. Come early. I'll get you in for free. You know, I talk about how, like, I miss those days so very, very much. You know, but... Again, it's like it'd be a different version of that I would like to go back to.
Yeah.
You know, at least in a different genre. I mean, we have to move forward. Podcasting is the way of the future. Finding a way to make this lucrative.
The first person that does that is basically me printing their own goddamn money.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and yes, celebrities can do that, and they can, they get advertising because, well, shit.
Yeah, it's a celebrity.
Yeah. You've got fucking Mark Maron, or you've got Joe Rogan, or you've got any number of other, hilarious comedians, compelling material. People are going to be throwing money at you left, right, and center. If somebody can find a way to make it lucrative overall.
See, I get a little upset when I think about celebrity podcasts because it's like, you're already famous, you're making money hand over fist doing your comedy shows or movies in the case of Kevin Smith or people like that. Leave the podcast to people who aren't famous and who maybe actually have something to say. I'm not taking anything away from Mark Maron's podcast. I know he does a fabulous podcast. Chris Hardwick, the Nerdist, is he's built a whole network around his podcast. He's got televised podcasts. So, you know, I mean, that's obviously
that's
those guys are doing
show.
It
that's
smarter.
Not a podcast. That's a show.
No, the Nerdist Network is a whole network of podcasts.
Well, and that was the thing I was going to point out, too, is like...
Some of them are actually pretty good.
I follow what you're saying in regards to, like, you know, when you're a celebrity, you know, you don't need to. But, honestly, I kind of feel that they do because it makes podcasting a legitimate entertainment medium. If it were just guys like the three of us sitting around doing this, we would have our bubble of people that would listen to it. But we wouldn't have that, like, crazy reach that, you know, these higher-end celebrities do. So they are creating more of a legitimacy to this medium. And then, like you said, they create these networks where people that aren't as famous as they are can kind of slide in there, get a little bit of that shine, get a little bit of that money.
One day I'm hoping we get involved in the Fun Employment Network.
You know?
I have dreams.
So it all comes down to, you know, like I said, if you can't find a way to do it on your own, because there hasn't been like that breakout, at least as far as I know, that breakout podcast is made of completely unknowns, but it's just so compelling. People want to hear it. They want to devour more and more of it.
Fun Employment.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's...
They started out as not completely unknowns, but they had when they started their podcast, they did have kind of a podcast. It's a podcast done in the bathroom.
Taking shits, taking selfies.
They had an audience.
Yeah.
I'm not going to deny them that. Whereas we started out, no audience. I know we have an audience now.
Of two?
Well, three.
Three, sorry.
Now that we've added Jim,
and
he listens.
Because I'm no longer a listener on the show.
Yeah, now he won't listen to it.
I can't be the daywalker, right? I can't be like all the powers and the weaknesses here.
Come on, Blade.
No.
But
I'm Blade 3.
There are audiences, podcasts can build audiences, but you're right, without those guys kind of paving the way, people won't go on to iTunes and go, well, what else
is out
there?
I liked them, what else could I
listen to? Yeah, you know, so I know people find, there is another podcast with our name, and I know we get some of their listeners, because they don't know how to type in the name correctly.
And they're fucking dry as toast. I mean, I don't know these guys from Adam, but...
Have you listened? I haven't listened.
By accident, yeah, I clicked on it, and I'm just like, this doesn't look anything like, did they redo the website or something? And then when you told me that there was this other one, I actually physically sought them out and listened to some of their shit, and it's like, it was boring. It was like, there was very little, I mean, they may get into some decent content later on, but the chemistry really wasn't there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really ideally, because I'm a sucker for good banter. If there's a TV show or a movie where the plot's kind of so-so, the special effects are just a joke, but the people got great back and forth, I'm hooked. That's what got me hooked in Firefly in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
If you had told me years ago, like, Jim, you're going to fall in love with a Western that takes place in space, I would have kicked you in the shins and told you, get the fuck out of my, you know, my cardboard.
Get off my lawn.
Get my shotgun out. But when I saw how those characters interacted with one another, I'm like, okay, this is the kind of shit that people want to get involved in. Because when they see these people having that kind of a good time, they're almost instinctually drawn to it.
And see, I think that's what makes this show a decent podcast is because the back and forth, whatever topic we're on, this show is, you're basically eavesdropping on some friends talking about the things that interest them, whether it be nerd stuff like last week or just busting each other's balls like last week. Or whatever we're talking about, we're pretty passionate about.
Yeah.
You know, so, and that makes for good listening.
Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely.
And that's the only thing I strive for. As long as the three of us are having a good time in this room and it's fun for us, we keep doing it.
Yep.
When it starts to feel like it's work, that's when we close up shop.
Yeah, it's when you kind of got to step away.
Throw in the towel.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and it's a hard thing to kind of do, because after a while you kind of get into this. Well, how long has Not Another Podcast been a thing?
We started. Well, this is the third
second
version of it.
The third incarnation.
Yeah. Because we had...
When did we start? Has it really been like three or
well,
four
the first,
years?
Well, the first was the James and Bryce show.
Yeah.
And then...
Of course you get top billing.
Well, it was my idea.
I mean, alphabetically, Bryce and James. B coming before J.
We did that for like a year before we actually had a website. We've got over a year's worth of podcasts that have never seen the light of day.
Yeah. And probably never will.
And then we were told by someone who would... host and design a website for us.
Yeah.
And they turned out to be kind of full of shit. and never did anything. But it got me curious as to how much like it would cost and all that shit. And I gotta say, you know, it's not cheap to get hosting and stuff.
Yeah.
But the stuff that they have, it's pretty easy to build a website.
You just have like a rudimentary knowledge or understanding as to how, you know, what widgets go where.
And yeah, and it's all templated now, so it's like, I mean, it's pretty easy to do. And they have customer assistance if you're a complete knob, which, Jim, you have firsthand knowledge of.
Shown time and time again. But, no, the difficulty when it comes to websites was ultimately one of the chief contributing factors to why Big and Loud isn't really recording currently. Because GoDaddy just fucked us and then made us pay more money and then fucked us again. And then, you know, by the end, we had paid all this money into these different services, none of which offered the ability to stream, none of which offered them the ability to download. Mm-hmm. You basically got one episode that you could listen to. That was the most recent one. Everything else had to be... we re-uploaded everything once and then just, oh, we're changing all the way that works. So you get to do it all over again. So by the end, I was just so kind of frustrated with it, as was Don, and just trying to find time where we can get together and record. We're just like, you know, we'll just take a fucking break and just walk away from it for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if we want to get it going again, which we have been in talks about maybe making that happen, we're going to go about it.
I like how you make it sound like it's contract negotiation.
I kind of feel like it is. You have to get a release from us now as a part of this show.
What contract did I sign? There was no contract.
You had a shot of the whiskey.
Yep.
That's non-binding. Sorry. Non-legally binding.
We could call in the program director, and she could decide.
Yeah, it's up to her. That's fine.
And as we've seen, she's got impeccable aim. How's your titty?
It's grown back. I have. I'm the best at what I do. What I do is grow titties. I'm the Wolverine of Mary
Wolverine.
Yeah.
The Wolverine of lactation.
Yes. I have adamantium-laced milk. It's not tasty at all. Not tasty at all. But, yeah, like I said, we've talked about it a couple times, but if we wouldn't go through with it, we'd have to go and get, like an actual, our own website, not through GoDaddy, which, fuck.
We're going to, we didn't have time this year, so we're, I think this might be the last year we're on GoDaddy. I think we're going to switch hosts when it comes time to renew. It gives me time to research and all that stuff, because I want a good web hosting place that doesn't cost me, I think it's $150 a year.
Yeah.
For the domain.
Something like
everything.
That, yeah. That's just for the domain name. That's not for the storage or the server.
No, the domain costs like $12 a year.
Yeah.
But for all the rest of the stuff, it costs like $150, and it's just like, and I'm getting, you know, our website has no comments on the episode because it's all spam, because in order to get this spam filter, I have to pay another $50 per year.
Jesus.
So I have to go through and manually delete all the spam, and last week I did over 300.
Jesus.
Yeah. Like, we get spammed that much.
That's a lot of Viagra. And
oddly shit. Enough, though, the most popular spammed episode was the friction method.
Of course. A lot of angry people with the American Beef Council, probably. Not too pleased with you guys.
So I do know that is our most popular episode, at least for spam bops.
That one's going to be a hard one to beat, man. Shit.
One day we'll get on topic. Maybe this topic. I sent you guys both a YouTube video of John Oliver's Last Week Tonight.
Last Week Tonight, yeah.
And it was hysterical, but it was also really enlightening. Mm-hmm. And I thought it would make a good topic for the show, and that is sex education in schools. Now, Jim, you had a Catholic school.
That is correct, yeah.
Education. I had a public school as well as Bryce, but Bryce and I are far enough apart that the education experiences would be very different. Yeah. So I thought it would be interesting to talk about our experiences as far as sex education, when it began, what grade, and also how you feel schools should handle sex education now, given teen pregnancy, mm-hmm. the passage of diseases, the topic of abstinence was covered, how we feel about that. There's been a lot of sexual assaults in colleges making the news in the last couple of years. So all of that ties into sex education and what should be taught, why is it not taught, and that sort of thing.
At what age should that all start to go down at? It's difficult to really nail down. When I first experienced sex education at St. Joseph Elementary School would be...
With Bryce's favorite teacher, Sister Pius.
No, that'd be St. Anthony's. St. Anthony's.
He's really trying to perfect that voice.
Yeah, and the way that they procreate is they take a baby fetus and they wrap it in, like, you know, like mumra, like they put it in a sarcophagus and they gotta wait for like third.
They make it into a pizza sandwich, which Bryce ate.
They put it in the warmer, and then they bring it out and eat it over a maxi pad. It's a whole thing. But no, it was about sixth or seventh grade is when it kicked in for me. But I know that just the way things have been, you know, that sex has infiltrated every aspect of consumerism, at least mm-hmm. in America. Yeah. You know, everything from fucking from sandwiches. Fucking sandwiches. We got to have a...
come on, Carl's Jr.
Paris Twat Face Hilton or whatever. I think it's her full name.
Is that her middle name, Twat Face?
Dancing on a fucking hood of a car while she's...
Bentley.
Pretending to actually wash it.
Wash it.
We know she can.
Yeah. She's never lifted a sponge in her life.
I'm pretty sure a couple times she took the sandwich...
What's this?
Dunked the sandwich in the soapy water and started like trying to wash the car. No, Paris, no, that's not a sponge. That's what people actually eat. I know you live off of condescension and twatness, whatever. So, but yeah, like the fact that they had to use her to sell a sandwich, like it's a fucking cheeseburger. No one that
it
looks
sells
like that
itself.
Eats that fucking burger.
No.
I love those shots over the supermodel that hasn't eaten a sandwich since fucking three presidents ago. They pretend to bite into it and then they pull the sandwich away and the sandwich is whole again. Like, it just sort of regrew. I'm like, if they get a sandwich like that, I will fucking buy it. I'll buy
it's a million-dollar sandwich right there.
Fuck it. It's the last one you'll ever have to buy. You just save up once. But
after 3 years, it starts to taste really bad.
Yeah, it starts going bad.
I think, though, that, you know, maybe somewhere around second or third grade, you don't get the full class. It starts to get worked into the curriculum along with everything else.
Yeah.
You know, when you're in elementary school, when you're in first and second grade, you're not getting hit with calculus unless, you know, you're in the gifted and talented classes. You know,
which none of us were.
You were introduced to math very, very slowly in increments over time, and that slowly built it up, so it became more of a tool for you. With sex ed, they're waiting for kids to already get developed to a certain point and then dumping all this shit onto them, which is just embarrassing for them, embarrassing
it's
for the
awkward.
People.
Yeah,
it's very awkward. You know,
because my elementary school, I think we watched our first video, I think it was fifth grade.
Caged Heat, yeah. Good.
But they had the boys go to one room and the girls went to another room and we both watched our videos.
Yeah.
That was similar to mine.
I think they rolled out the projector too for it.
Seventh grade, they had split health classes on one day.
Yeah, just one day.
Yeah, see, that's what in elementary school, that's what ours was one day. And then in 7th through 8th grade, we did, I think we did like a week, almost, of sex ed type stuff. And then high school, we had the full class, but I think that was sophomore or junior year or something.
Yeah. Seventh grade, we knew a week ahead of time we were getting split classes. Everyone knew why, because the eighth graders told us. And it was
girls are filled with sin.
It was the health teacher that I had was a guy. He was clearly embarrassed by teaching us this stuff.
If you're not embarrassed, you should be locked the fuck up.
I had the best health teacher.
I'm not saying excited, but I'm saying being able to present the facts without turning red and giggling.
Yeah.
Like a little Japanese woman. You know, I mean, being able to say, look, this is your body. And, you know, but I also think, though, at 12 years old, you're starting late.
Yeah.
I think, you know,
fifth, sixth grade is the
even
best
fourth
starting
grade, yeah. You know, because some people start starting. Some people start puberty, you know, earlier. Yeah. So getting people aware, I think what they should do is do anatomy. Basically,
yeah,
you know,
this is your body.
This
it
is
will
your body
be changing over the next.
Yeah. As you
decade.
Grow, you know,
yeah. It
things
changes.
Are going to change. I'm not saying go into details
yeah.
and stuff, but like, you know, your bones are going to grow. You know, these things grow, and this happens, you know. And then, you know, maybe fifth grade, give them, you know, a couple of weeks.
Little birds
kind of a
and
refresher,
bees
but also,
yeah.
you know, a little bit more about how babies develop.
Yeah.
You know? And then sixth grade, and just basically grow the curriculum with each year. Because
yeah.
by the time I got, like, full-on sex ed, it was sophomore
it was,
year in
it
high
was
school.
Too late.
Jesus.
You're pretty much ready to do
by
it.
By that time,
and you
I had
know.
Had sex.
Yeah.
And you already know.
Yeah.
By then, what it is and how it works.
Now, have either of you had an embarrassing story where your parents are like, the guy with the birds and the bees talk?
Yeah.
No?
Yeah.
No? All right. Well, I got one. James got one.
Do you want to go first?
Sure.
Because I'm sure mine's not going to be as funny as yours.
Well, I had got caught... Actually, technically, some friends of mine got caught smoking cigarettes that I had provided for them, so I ended up getting suspended from
school.
That's
not the got caught I was thinking.
yeah.
Well, they were
Mom, super... there's a sock on the door.
Respect the sock!
Jim, have you seen the brisket I was going to use for Sunday dinner?
Respect yourself, Jim.
Oh, that's where all those steakums went.
What happened to my apple pie?
Took her to town. No,
put up a fight.
I got suspended from school because I gave some kids some cigarettes. I got caught smoking them. My dad said as punishment I had to clean the basement. And the basement of this house was kind of like, it was a partially finished basement. And the previous owner had in the very back where the washing and the dryer was, he had like this little work area that he'd kind of built into the walls himself. So I figured out rather quickly that I want to spend as much time down the basement as fucking possible because I just got my ass chewed out. I'm grounded for a month. I'm suspended for 3 days. It's in the most trouble I've been in up to that point. So I'm going through and doing like detailing this work area. And I didn't have a vacuum, so I had to use like a dustpan and broom. And I'm sweeping all the sawdust bits of the very top of this work area. And I had like these little shelves kind of built in that had fronts to it. So I'm like feeling like I feel something. What the hell is that? And I'm like, oh, it feels like a comic book or a magazine. I pull it down. It's a porno mag. And it was one I'd never seen before or since. And it was like, it was all comics, all comic strip type pictures and stuff. And different artists and different styles and everything else. And I'm like, okay, what else is up there? So I reach around there and I find a couple of magazines. You know, it wasn't like Hustler or Beaver Hunt, something classy. You know, it was something really kind of like down and dirty. I'm like, all right, bonus, what else is up there? And I feel something cylindrical. And I'm like, what is this? Is it like a flashlight? Could it be a flashlight? I think it might be a flashlight. No, it wasn't a flashlight. It was a broken vibrator. Now, not broken in that, oh, the batteries don't seem to be working properly. No, it was like literally snapped in half.
Jesus Christ.
So whoever previous owner of said vibrator was
went
got their
town.
Money's worth. Yeah. Rode it to town, like... And I'm just like, that's okay. And then I'm like, so what else is up there? And then I find, lastly, there's a Polaroid picture in there. But I couldn't figure out what the picture was of. I'm just like, I don't understand. Now, granted, okay, how old was I when all this
was a face hugger.
This would be probably sixth grade, I'd say. Sixth grade is when all this went down.
So you're talking 10, 12,
yeah,
something like that.
Something along those lines. Now, the picture itself was kind of overexposed and kind of like corroding away, but I was determined, I don't want to know what it was. So then at that point, my dad comes down, I can hear him on the stairs coming down to check on me, so I'm like, shit. So pick everything up, put it back up there, you know, clean up the area, and later that day, I come back and I grab it all up and I shove it in like my down the front of your shirt, you know, covered with a vibrator kind of hanging out of my pocket. I gotta go back to my room real quick, I'll be right back. So I go back there and I put it in the most obvious fucking place, man. I put it in the sock drawer, top drawer, my fucking thing. Right? And so my dad and my mom had like split custody of me. So I go back over to be with my mom for the week. My dad, because I got caught with cigarettes, he wanted to know if I, you know, still had any, so he started going through my room, first place he checks, fucking sock drawer. Now, luckily I was smart enough to throw away the broken vibrator. You know?
There would have been a lot more questions had you not.
You know, I turned it into like a planter, I put a couple like geraniums in there, and I hung them out my window. Jim, the neighbors are complaining. But, I went and I took the magazines and the Polaroid picture, I put those in the little sock drawer there. So he's okay with like the magazines, but when he sees what was on the Polaroid, he gets very concerned. So the next time I come over to his house, I get dropped off, and I was actually up in my room when I got to the house. I'm like, hey, Dad, are you here? He's like, yeah, I'm up in your room. Come on up. I'm like, oh, fuck, what now? So he's sitting on my bed, and it's like, seriously, very awkward moment. And he's just like, so I found some things in your sock drawer. I'm like, God damn it! The one place! So
I knew I should have installed that false bottom drawer.
And he's like going through like this really awkward kind of conversation. But he's talking a lot about AIDS for some reason. Not just like, you know, you're going through a lot of changes. Your body's going to start to grow fur where there wasn't fur previously.
AIDS.
You know, that's the AIDS fur. You don't want that. You got to shave it off as quickly as possible. Sometimes the AIDS hair will be itchy and you'll need a special shampoo and tiny comb. but I'm like, okay, but yeah, I'm like, yeah, we already covered this at school. He's like, oh, okay, great. Lastly, what can you tell me about this? And he holds up the Polaroid. I'm just like, honestly, I don't have any idea what it is. And he's just like, now don't mess with him. He's like, honest, I kept it because I don't know what this is a picture of. And he's just like, it's a picture that someone took kind of straight down of like a naked like midriff and the dingle dick and everything else was kind of hanging out. The AIDS fur was in like full bloom. There's little AIDS blossoms dripping from the trees. And it was very tastefully done. Like a bonsai had been like trimmed into like the bush. And he's just like, this is a penis. I'm just like, whoa, I don't need that. And he's just like, okay, thank God. All right, talk's over. And like, it just quickly leaves the room.
SpaghettiOs for dinner? SpaghettiOs?
Yeah, we're going to order pizza. I'll leave the money on the counter. You just tell me when it gets here. I'm going to be fucking at the bar.
Right.
But at the time, I didn't realize that he was giving me the birds and the bees talk. I was just thinking that this was kind of like this weird, awkward punishment that he's putting us both through for what he found in my drawer. And then afterwards, I'm just like, I think that was the
was
birds
that
and
the talk?
Bees. That was the worst fucking talk. I mean, topic-wise, we've covered much more uncomfortable stuff in school, but yeah. So I still have that magazine and that comic book in case anyone's
framed.
Yeah. And the pages are all stuck together.
Well,
mine was actually, I thought I was sick. I thought something bad was happening.
My dick has a fever!
I was experiencing wet dreams. And had no idea what was going on because, oddly enough, the health class didn't cover that.
Was it like the one from Ghostbusters where like you're wearing kind of like an Admiral's uniform and then like a ghost kind of hovers over you? And
yeah, that's exactly what it was.
Was it full intercourse? Were you doing
yeah.
stuff?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Dude.
Yeah.
All right, advanced class. Speaking of gifted and talented.
So, you know, it's like I don't want to admit I'm sick or something, might be wrong, but it was like I was starting to get concerned, you know, because it was happening. So I finally, one day after dinner, just kind of peeked my head into the living room and my mom and dad are sitting there, and I kind of said, I think something's happening, and I kind of explained what I'd been experiencing. My mom looks at my dad and goes, you're up!
Tag, you're in.
My dad just kind of went, oh.
Right, well, grab a beer from the fridge. Cause we're
gonna so he takes one. Me, we go in the bedroom. He's like, okay, first of all, everything's normal. Yeah. And he gives me like, he basically says, you know, you're having
the bullet points.
Yeah, basically, this is happening, this is happening, this is happening. And he goes through all this stuff, and he goes, and it's all okay. Yeah. And your body's just changing, and you're becoming a man, basically. I was like, is this going to keep going? He's like, no, eventually you'll get a girl. So, and that was it. It was like, okay, fantastic, I'm okay. So the next, no, it was like 2 years later, it was my freshman year.
Yeah.
I got a pretty serious girlfriend, and my mom was really concerned that I might be exactly.
I've been really trying, baby.
So we had gone. We lived in Bend. We had come to Portland for a day trip. We're on
our
way.
Whores live.
Yeah, we're on our way back. My brother and sister were just crapped out in the car. My mom, dad, and I are just talking, and it. For me, it felt pretty good because it's like, wow, they're treating me like an adult. This is kind of cool. And then they start bringing up my girlfriend at the time, and we basically had the sex talk on the road trip. And there was nothing embarrassing about it. And they were both like, look, we can't stop you from having sex. If you're going to have it, you're going to find a way.
Yeah.
So they basically laid it out and said, look, when you do it, just
be smart.
Be smart, exactly. And then the next day, my dad took me out after work and bought me condoms. And then a month later, I lost my virginity. So,
where's the last place you saw it?
It was in bed.
Did you retrace your steps?
I did. Okay. I did, and it's gone. It was gone. So, but I had a very open. Our family was pretty open about sex.
Open a conversation.
It was not a taboo subject, and I think that really helped my brother and sister, because when my parents started talking to it with me, and then we started joking about it and making it open, my brother and sister basically got their education through that, and I think that helped them later on, because they never, so far as I know, they never had the talk.
Yeah, it goes off a little easier if you can find a way to add levity to it, if you can find a way to add humor.
And my dad was really good about that.
You know, and it doesn't have to, because the more super serious it is, the more that shame starts to build within you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even though it's completely unfounded, they can sit there and say it's not your fault or it's totally okay, but the more they say that, the more it seems like they're trying to convince themselves and they're trying to convince you, and you know that, you know, you're just filled with like these bad intentions that, you know, you're going to make, you know, baby Jesus cry every time you spank bang.
Well, I think also for parents, it's kind of a tough thing because your kids are growing up.
Yeah.
You know, and it's kind of hard to deal with that. And I think, too, for parents, that it's at that point, it's like, wow, my kid's about to go into this whole much larger world, and I just want them to be safe. But their first reaction is, don't do it!
Yeah.
You know, and that puts a lot of pressure on the kid because it's like, it's bad. You know,
it's like the two,
and parents don't want to talk about it.
The two biggest schools of thought are either, you know, don't do it, immediately make it seem like you're doing something bad, or don't talk about it at all. Let the schools
just
deal with it.
Ignore it. Yeah.
And then that way, if you have any questions, you feel like you're disappointing your parents in some way because they just don't want to talk about it at all. So you as the and like we talked about before, like when you're a kid, you're an adolescent, not just in sexuality, but like puberty as a whole, you're just an exposed nerve.
Yeah.
Everything is the best thing in the world or the worst thing in the human history that's happening to
There's
all
no
the time.
Middle ground.
Yeah.
There. Yeah. So, you know, like you were saying, though, that parents would rather it be taught in schools.
Yeah.
Well, then schools now are trying to take up that mantle because they want kids to be safe.
Yeah.
You know, so how do you keep them safe?
But
give
no,
them the facts.
But there's no standardization of it.
Exactly.
That's the problem.
And that's the problem.
Yeah.
There's schools that have gotten in trouble from parents who won't talk to their kids about sex because they're showing them images which may or may not be construed as pornographic.
Yeah.
Basically teaching about sex.
Yeah.
You know, pornography is basically if, like, okay, kids, next week we're going to be learning about sex, but if you want to buy the textbook, it's going to be $14.95.
A month.
A month, yeah. You know, it's going to be a monthly charge. If you're under 18, you got to give your parents permission.
But see, by the time that kids are learning about it
they
in
already
school,
know about
they've
it.
Already seen porn.
Yeah,
exactly.
You know?
Most of them have a stash already.
Or access to a computer. So it's like, it's out there. They know about it. So why not talk to them as the adults that you want them to become?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you want your son to treat women respectfully. Well, then you've got to sit him down and go, what you're seeing on the computer is not necessarily reality.
Yeah, women don't like it when you juke on their face.
No, they really don't.
That seems to be the standard. I don't understand why. She was nice enough to do things for you for about 45 minutes, and now you just turn around and like, hey, you know.
That's not, you're not showing love or respect. You're just being an asshole.
Pretty much, yeah. You know, and it's.
But I mean, it's that level that parents need to, and not just boys, but girls as well.
Yeah.
You know?
Girls, I'd say, and the thing is, too, like I said, there's so much over-sexualization in everything.
Yeah.
This girl was told that she had to go home and change because she was wearing, like a sundress or something where like her back was exposed.
Yeah.
Her back. Not her back, side yeah. boob. You know, she didn't have like a labia hanging out. Like it was just a fucking, it was her back. And the teacher or the principal was just like, you have to go home and change. And she's like, why? And they're like, well, because what you're wearing is inappropriate. And she's like, based on what?
Exactly.
And the principal's just like, well, because, you know, you may be giving the boys at CU impure thoughts. She's like, that's on them. You know, guys will hump a sofa if you give them half a chance. Yeah.
See, there's YouTube videos of it.
Crease between the cushions there. I can make that happen. You know, I mean, if they're going to get turned on by something, maybe you should educate them and maybe not so immediately make it seem like girls should feel bad about wearing stuff that makes them feel pretty, that makes them feel, you know, I wouldn't say sexy, but like something that makes them feel proud of who they are and how they look.
Exactly.
But because there's just so much shit just saturating everything that they see, from cell phones to fucking sandwiches. Again, back to this. I'm getting horny and hungry at the same time. If only there was a whorehouse that served, like, you know, waffles.
Just going to Subway after this and fuck a 6-inch.
Foot long, thank you. Or at least 11-incher. The hedgehog, please. Hold the mayo. I make my own. But, yeah, like I said, there needs to be a vast ratification of how this is taking place. And the parents have to trust the curriculum and not just...
Or they need to have a say in it. Don't say, well, I don't want my kid learning this.
And not a say in it after the fact.
Yeah, they need to go to the meetings when they set a standard and say, okay, this is what we're planning on teaching them. We want the parents to know. The school should send the parents the curriculum for the sex ed class.
So and maybe even the materials, too, so they know what their kids are
seeing. That's what I mean.
Are seeing.
Send them the information that they're going to be teaching the kids.
Because you can't have it both ways. You can't be like, well, this is your responsibility. That's it.
But yeah.
If you don't do it the way I like, I'm going to step in there and make your life a living fucking hell. That's
I honestly think that it, especially when it comes to sex education, I think it needs to be both the school and the parents.
Yes. Yeah.
Because the school is teaching your kid facts. It's the parents' job to teach the kids to become good, responsible adults.
Yeah.
It's not, you don't put that on the school.
Yeah.
You know, if your kid's a bully, you need to beat the shit out of your kid. You know?
No, that may not always be the best possible course.
That's usually
what I'm saying. The parents need to take a hand in raising the kids into the adults that they want them to be.
Yeah.
Don't put it all on the school, because the school is just there to teach them to get by in society with, you know, basic knowledge, essentially.
Schools are there to enrich your child's intelligence and give them the tools that they're going to need when they get out of school and have to start their own lives. Parents' responsibility is to give that kid self-respect and know how to treat themselves and other people.
Exactly.
You can't put it all on the teachers.
It can't be one or the other.
And be pissed off when one or the other kind of like falls short and be like, well, I don't have time to raise my kid. It's kind of your job. That's why I'm paying my taxes or whatever.
And then point the finger when the kid does something that, you know, you don't, you know. Parents need to be more active in parenting.
Yeah.
Is what it comes down to.
Agreed.
And with that, we're going to end this show. We didn't get into this as far as I would have liked to. And
just the tip. Just the tip.
Doesn't count.
Yeah.
It's not sex.
It's not sex.
So next week, we need to bring back the music show.
Dun, da, da, da. Okay.
Yeah. I don't have a topic. We'll have to discuss it after we get off the air. No. And then we've got our first viewing commentary with Jim as a full cast member.
So it'll be totally different than all the other ones?
It'll be exactly the same. No one will know the difference.
You don't get to pick.
Do we have a movie... Since it's my first, can I select the... Okay.
You know what, Jim?
Pending,
yes.
Pending approval.
I will toss out there then the possibility of watching Basket Case. The first Basket Case.
If you've got a DVD of it.
Or we can think of something else that's along the lines of Basket Case.
He might have a Betamax copy of it, right?
Or wax cylinders, cave paintings or some shit. I don't know.
He's got a microfiche.
We'll figure it out. It'll be good. It'll be good stuff. It'll be good stuff.
Cool. Well, that's it for this week. We'll talk to you next week.
See you later.
Thank you for listening to Not Another Podcast. There are so many places for you to find us outside of www.notanotherpodcast.com. For instance, you can find us on Facebook at Not Another Podcast. You can also find us on Tumblr at www.notanotherpodcast.tumblr.com. You can also find me, Samantha Stark, on Twitter at SamanthaStark3. And you can find James on Twitter as well under James Spooky, spelled with an I-E, not A-Y. And you wanted it, you asked for it, you got it. You can also find us now on iTunes under, you guessed it, Not Another Podcast. We'll talk to you soon. Peace out, Not Another Podcasters.